Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature an interview with Richard Schwartz, the president of Rush Street Interactive, the iGaming arm of Rush Street Gaming, which owns casinos in Illinois, Pennsylvania, and New York. The GGB podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. Rush Street Gaming is one of the most progressive companies in the gaming industry, with unique strategies at the Rivers Casinos in Des Plaines, Illinois, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Schenectady, New York, and also Sugar House in Philadelphia. Maybe the most unique was the launch of an interactive division long before the major casino companies realized that interactive could be helpful. Richard Schwartz, an experienced iGaming executive from WMS Gaming, joined Rush Street to lead that effort. The unusual launch of a real money iGaming site in New Jersey, branded under the Sugar House brand, has been a big success and laid the groundwork for further growth for the company. Schwartz met with me at the AGS Game On conference at MGM National Harbor in June. Richard Schwartz, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. It's great to see you. We've been knowing each other for a couple of years now, and I've really been impressed with what you've done on the interactive side. Let's start with just why did Rush Street Gaming see in the interactive space that they really wanted to create a separate division for it?
Roger, it's great to be here. Thank you. What we really saw was that other types of commerce in the industry, migrate online across all industries actually. And how we shop, how we bank, how we listen to music, how we watch movies, how we play video games have all gone and migrated online. So we also saw what happened with Blockbuster, and when it didn't embrace online fast enough, we realized that we don't want to be Blockbuster, we'd rather be Netflix.
Right.
And so we recognized there was an opportunity and a need for our industry, the gaming industry, to migrate online, so we wanted to be a leader rather than a follower.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got some very innovative owners of the company and executives, starting with Neil Bloom. What kind of direction do they give you when it comes to the interactive division?
They're very involved and they're very excited about this business. So they've given us a lot of flexibility and freedom to sort of make the investments. I think the big decision to invest and develop our own technology was one that showed some vision on their end to support this sort of investment and risk that comes along with trying to build something internally. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I think we've done a nice job with the product, so it's been a good outcome. But I certainly think that they gave us a lot of degree of flexibility and independence to kind of make those decisions and supported us every step of the way.
Okay. Now, you pretty much built this from the ground up. So, your previous employer was WMS. So you pretty much know where you're going. Explain how you built it. Did you start with social casino first?
Yes, we did. We launched a social casino product first, associated with our land-based properties, starting with the Sugar House casino. And we realized that the land-based players, we want to encourage them to register online, get familiar with the online platforms, with the hope that those markets will legalize online gaming in the future and we'll have a player database already migrated online.
Okay.
It's a lot more affordable to acquire players in a pre-legalized market,
sure,
where you don't have as much competition as it will be later on when it's legalized and you have a lot more companies competing for those same player registrations.
Okay. So we're here at the AGS conference. You spoke yesterday on social casinos, and you mentioned that when you register players, you do the KYC right away, even though it wasn't real money gaming. Why did you decide to do that?
To our goal, you always have to look at what the goal is of a business before you decide on your strategies. And ultimately, our goal was to register real money players. And so if we could KYC the players, know your customers, what that stands for, effectively in advance, we'd have a chance to make sure that player base that we have there is, in fact, eligible to gamble for real money in the future.
Okay.
And so we also do checks against self-exclusion checks as well against the databases in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. We really wanted to focus on a high-quality player base, even if that, the volumes decrease slightly because of that. We felt that it was more important to focus on quality and serious players than it was to try to just bring in everybody.
Okay. So I think everybody was really surprised when Rush Street jumped into the New Jersey online gaming market. Rush Street operates the Sugar House Casino in Philadelphia, but nothing in New Jersey. But you guys worked out a partnership with Golden Nugget. And explain why you decided to go that route.
Well, New Jersey was the first state in the United States to legalize the category of online casino. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with a meaningful population as well. And so we felt it was a natural market for us, given that our Sugar House property, is on the river, mm-hmm. bordering with New Jersey and has a significant player base from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So there's some brand awareness of our brand. And in fact, our property there is closer to quite a few players mm-hmm. Who live in New Jersey than even Atlantic City is.
Right.
So I think for those reasons, entering that market early also allowed us to mature our product and our mm-hmm. operations to be prepared for future markets.
Great. Now, you partnered with Golden Nugget, and over the last year, the Golden Nugget online sites, interactive sites, have really taken off. More so than some of the established brands like Borgata and Party Poker and things of that nature. What role does Rush Street and the other partner, Betfair, play in the success of Golden Nugget?
Well, that's an interesting question because, a lot of times it gets reported that it's Golden Nugget's, license fees and generating, but there are three brands contributing to those revenues, mm-hmm. the three that you mentioned, Golden Nugget, Betfair, and PlaySugarHouse.com. Right. And so each of us have our own brands, have our own products, have our own marketing budgets, have our own operating budgets. Mm-hmm. And so, we've been growing extremely fast, and you've seen a pretty significant increase in the revenue generated from the Golden Nugget license mm-hmm. Since we launched in September. So we're certainly contributing to their growth. I've been very happy so far with the results.
Golden Nugget's been very innovative in their approach to online gaming, which I think is certainly part of their success. One of the milestones they did was take the live dealer approach, where they actually have a studio within their casino, and people can come actually play and watch this happening. So what innovations has Sugar House brought to iGaming in New Jersey?
Well, we've introduced a wide range of firsts to the New Jersey market. A lot of the features we've introduced are first to the global industry as well for mm-hmm. internet gaming. One of the philosophies we have on the product standpoint is a lot of product strategies for other casino groups sort of starts and ends with the concept of aggregating games from as many different vendors as possible mm-hmm. and perhaps try and get a few exclusive games in there.
Sure.
We assumed that was the starting point for our product strategy, and our focus innovation was how to differentiate the user experience and the journey and how mm-hmm. to create experiences that are not available anywhere else. One of the things that we focus, for example, on very heavily is a completely new way, an innovative way of casino bonusing. Based on a lot of market research we did with players in the market, we realized that there's a lot of concern players have when it comes to how do you get awarded bonuses, mm-hmm. how do you redeem them, and how do you track them. So transparency was really missing in a lot of part of the player market. So we really decided to focus on making sure players could easily manage and track their loyalty and bonus progressions as part of our philosophy. We also have a 10-tier loyalty system with Gamify, with all kinds of wheel spins along the way. As you progress, you get mm-hmm. money back constantly. Okay. So we really want to keep players engaged at all times. Mm-hmm. You only have three levels. The player only hears back, gets an upgrade once in a while. And mm-hmm. we want the players to feel positive much more often with that. We also introduced a concept that I haven't seen anywhere else in the industry, a daily free bingo promotional game where players are winning bingo for free and winning big prizes as mm-hmm. they play. It gets randomly invited. We have some real-time bonusing we give the players. So if they're on the site, if they're having a losing streak, we provide an extra bonus, about some extra cash for the player. We have a chat room and a social news feed mm-hmm. that really engages the community and builds a community of players, which is unique as well. So at the end of the day, we've done a lot of things like scratch cards, where we've created this character named King Cash, and he shows up and gives scratch cards to players. And I think it's making it more fun, and more ways to win is a common theme we hear about in the casino industry, and we've created more ways to win, which ultimately is what we think is exciting for players.
Great. That sounds like there's a lot of innovative things going on there on your site, which is PlaySugarHouse.com.
Yes.
So the Atlantic City casinos that offer iGaming have seen new players arriving that have first played on their online sites, visiting their physical properties. Has that been the experience at Sugar House in Philadelphia as well?
It's still early days for us, so I have a hard time, you know, sharing too much data. That's until we have a higher volume and make sure it's longer time to measure these things. But we are seeing online gaming can be utilized as a new player development marketing tool.
So what does SugarHouse, PlaySugarHouse.com, have planned to increase the attraction to online casino players?
Can you say it one more time?
Sure. What does the SugarHouse, PlaySugarHouse.com, have planned to increase its attraction to online players?
Well, we just relaunched a brand new loyalty program called iRewards, which really becomes, I think, now the premier loyalty program online, because it really has taken our program to the next level. So we offer things like guaranteed bingo events, so players are guaranteed to be in it, and we've got multipliers where they win. In the past, everyone won the same amount, and now if you're a higher loyalty level player, you win five times the price everybody else gets. We have complimentary cruises. We provide playing devices like iPads free for players. Trips to our property and the limos and Ubers and hotel stays, and really trying to make a physical, tangible experience.
Right.
So they can get access to our VIP room, which we just redid a land-based property.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of a major, $140 million plus revamp of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a state-of-the-art VIP lounge, which now is available to our online players. So really trying to treat the players the way they deserve.
Okay.
It's really our philosophy. I think that loyalty program is really making a major difference. And then the other thing is, using our technology and games themselves to create bonuses, so the players are having more fun and engaged in the bonusing process, rather than just sending an email to a player to say, hey, congratulations, you've won something. We really give them a chance to play a game, and they could win a lot more than they deserve if they get lucky on that game.
Okay, great. So PlaySugarHouse doesn't have an online poker room. Are there any plans to establish that, or are you going to kind of wait till the liquidity opens up when other states get legalized?
We don't have any plans to launch a real money poker solution, but our group has created and does produce a nationally televised poker TV series called Poker Night in America.
Uh-huh.
And next week, in fact, we're planning to launch an extremely exciting social poker app named Poker Night in America on their iPhones and on Android in the Apple stores. And what's going to be interesting about that is we're going to try to grow a database of poker players, and it'll be available for players anywhere in the United States to download and play for free from the Apple or Google Play stores. But I think the thing that sets this product apart from every other social poker app in the industry is that players who play will have a chance to win physical, real-world prizes, including, for example, a fully paid flight and travel accommodations, to come visit us at one of our land-based casinos where there's a poker event, and they get to, we'll stake them $5,000 in cash so they can play poker against the pros.
Wow, that's exciting.
It's like a bucket list for a player that doesn't have a chance to otherwise do that.
Right, and we mentioned SugarHouse, of course. So give us other locations of Rush Street properties.
We have the most recent property we opened, which is earlier this year, is Schenectady. So the River's Schenectady property, SugarHouse is in Philadelphia. And then we have another property on the other side of the state in Pittsburgh, Rivers Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then we have a large property in Chicago as well, the Rivers Displains area.
Right, great. So how do you decide what games to offer at your online casino? The players suggest games that they want to see or that they played on the casino floor. How does that work?
Well, we evaluate the game libraries and focus on bringing games online from studios that have quality games. There is an entry to market challenges for suppliers in the New Jersey market, so we tend to find that most of the vendors that are there have decided they have quality games, and therefore most operators are trying to take as many of those games as possible to offer a greater range of product available. I will say that we don't develop the games in-house. We've done a couple of blackjack games developed in-house, actually, and they're among our top performers, actually. But we really rely on the game selections that our vendors make.
Okay.
And a few times I've passed along player requests or to the owner of those games, saying, hey, would you consider adding this to your roadmap? But it certainly isn't as smooth of a process, and I wish we had more ability to add the games that the players want when we want, but we really are reliant pretty heavily on the game suppliers to pick their roadmap.
Right, and in some cases, the game manufacturers don't want to put it out there because they want to keep it on their own platform.
For social especially, but that's right.
For
I think it comes down to the resource issue. Everyone's trying to manage a limited amount of resources to develop these products.
Right. So you mentioned how you handle bonuses and incentives. That must be a real important part of your business.
I think the most important part is players want to feel like you're transparent. They want to feel like you're honest. You're showing them what they deserve. You know, we made a decision a long time ago that we didn't want to offer bonuses to players that deserved it and make it hard for them to redeem them.
Right.
We felt if a player earned it, they have a right to that opportunity. I think because of that, all players are getting bonused how they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a one-time playthrough, which is huge in the New Jersey market. A lot of the online sites might throw out offers of $1,000,
sure.
but at the end of the day, the player is going to have nothing.
Right.
We offer $100, mm-hmm. and the player is going to end up with $95. So it's a much better outcome for the players with one times playthrough. And we were able to do that because of the high-quality player registration process and KYC process, which really allowed us to find good players and offer that kind of benefit to players. But it's a massive benefit. And then we've also, as I mentioned earlier, gamified the bonusing programs to make it fun for players to earn bonus money.
Okay. So do you think players really understand, you know, that playthrough concept? All they see is $1,000 in free money, but they don't understand that they got to play through it so many times to get all that.
They certainly don't understand it. I mean, the existing online players who've been playing for 3 years on other sites do appreciate that, and they recognize the benefit of the one-time playthrough that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
If you mention to a land-based casino player who hasn't played online the term one-times playthrough, they most of them aren't going to know what it is.
Sure.
So I'd be eager to find out from you or your players what term would be more accurate to describe it so we can convey that really positive point. But it's been, a challenge to convey that point. And, of course, the operators that do have high playthrough requirements, unlike us, they tend to put that in the fine print, so it's not easy for players to read that. That goes to transparency, where we're trying to tell the players, you can trust us, we tell you what it is, we don't put the fine print, we're really upfront with how we treat you, and in return, I believe that becomes a mutual respect between the player and us.
I think that's important in online gaming, certainly here in the early days, when if you're not transparent with the players, you could turn them off right away, and they could just not play at all. So I think that's a great strategy you guys have.
Thanks. So there's one other point I'll mention that we also do. When players open up a game, we like to default the game to the minimum bet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of operators in the market set their minimums of default when a game opens to a substantially higher amount.
Mm-hmm.
And the players, for sure, are betting larger amounts than they wish. So we decided across the board, we even had to work with suppliers to lower the default bet. Some of them didn't allow that in their solution.
Mm-hmm.
We really wanted to make sure that we could offer players a fair entry point. If they want to bet up, we give them that option, but we don't want to, in a sense, trick them or encourage them to bet a higher amount than we felt they were comfortable with.
Sure, okay. So tell me a little bit about the demographics of the players you've seen so far. Again, I know it's early days for you guys. Is it more women, more men, and the age? Everybody's assuming millennials are doing this, but that's not necessarily true, right?
Well, it depends on the product category, whether it's poker or casino. We're casino, so it's going to be a little bit older than maybe the younger male demographic you primarily see with poker. We've seen, we've been pleasantly surprised with the mix between male and female. It's pretty similar to what you see in a land-based property. It's close to 50-50, a little bit skewed towards the females at times. But what I would say is the age difference is significant. We are finding younger players, about 8 to 10 years younger than a land-based. Mm-hmm. So you hear a lot of talk in the industry about skill-based gaming, and while there's certainly some opportunities in that area, I think a lot of the issue is the players who are younger don't have the same income opportunity or disposable income as some of the older players. And so for those younger players, I think online represents a time-on-device type of experience that maybe used to happen in the land-based industry 10, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen anymore and has minimum bets for 10 cents on a blackjack game. We can afford that. Now, land-based, you really can't afford under a $10, $15 minimum.
Mm-hmm, right.
So I think that's giving us a chance to appeal to a younger demographic. And what we're finding is that the younger demographic are also the most likely ones to come to visit the property and increase their spend at the physical property. So the younger players are not only coming to the online site, but it is working as a tool to get those younger players more motivated to visit the land-based property and continue to play at the physical property, too.
Okay, great. So I'm just going to ask you to blue sky a little bit here with these online gaming bills that are before a couple of states. Certainly in Pennsylvania, there's some serious discussions. I know in Illinois as well, and you guys are active there, and even New York is talking about it at some point. What's your opinion on who's going to go next, or if any of them are going to go next?
Well, it's one of those things where we would like to have this business legalized for a couple of reasons. Obviously, the tax generation it creates, plus the protection of the consumers who are in our plans, illegal or regulated sites, and having problems and not able to have any recourse. So we have been active. I lobbied, testified last week in Illinois in front of the state Senate, and they had a vote, a positive vote later that day, so that was a positive development. And then in Pennsylvania, as you saw even last night, they had a vote with the House, and so those two bills from the Senate and the House that now have to work together to try to, you know, work out some of the differences. So we're all cautiously optimistic. You know, we've been on the record saying we do think online gaming, the data shows online gaming grows the business, is complementary to land-based.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
And so we're doing what we can in the markets to educate the legislators about the data that we are seeing that's very positive towards the industry, and we think it represents a big opportunity for the industry to attract a new player base. Mm-hmm. In fact, online, though, we are competing against all the non-gaming companies. We're competing against the Targets online, the Walmarts, the Amazons, the Netflix, the music, the Pandora.
Sure.
Those are products that those companies are marketing consumer spend to those players online. So it's very expensive business. So on the tax rate, it truly is a much more expensive model online and land-based. The margins are lower online than land-based, but I think it's an education to inform the legislator about that, because I think historically sometimes you've taxed the land-based casinos at an amount and it's been higher, but online it just doesn't work the same way. And if even online we're paying royalties to all the content suppliers on a revenue share for all games, which you certainly, the content is a lot more expensive for operators like us to acquire online than it is in the land-based industry.
Right, and player acquisition is a
player acquisition is massively expensive too, because no one's going to find your site on their own.
Right.
And they're competing with millions of other sites for eyeballs. And millions of other companies are trying to attract those players to their sites, too. They have nothing to do with our industry.
Right.
So it's extraordinarily expensive. But once you acquire them, it's expensive to reinvest in them because it's very easy to stop visiting a site when it's a .com site. And so it's not like you're driving by the physical property every day on the way to work or in your community and you see it all the time. It's much more difficult. So I think those are cost structures that are really expensive that I don't think a lot of people realize just how much investment in technology and cost goes in operating these sites.
Great. Well, Richard, thanks for the time. It's great to talk to you. You opened my eyes to a lot of things that are going on the online sector, the interactive games, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Appreciate it. It's always great to see you.
Enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit GGBMagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast. And don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.